Morning. We're in chapter 3 of Nehemiah. We left off last time there. We didn't get very far last time there. We're going to get further and done with that chapter today. We saw last time that, as strange as it may seem, Nehemiah showed up to a city that had been without walls. People had lived in for 80 years, and everybody knew it, but they didn't know it. How can you miss the fact that your protection, the only protection really that you have in those times, night and day, how can you miss the fact that it's down? How do you come to the place where you accept that kind of lifestyle? Well, we all do a similar thing. When we tolerate sin in our lives, we tolerate things like that, we get to the place where we no longer see it. It takes somebody from the outside. Like I said last time, we all need counseling, all of us. And I mean, what I just simply mean is someone that we trust, who knows the Lord, knows the Scriptures, who can sit outside of our life and say, you know, I see this in you. It'd be tough, things that we don't want pointed out in our lives, but if we really want to grow, we really want the kingdom of God to advance in our own lives, that's very important. And we looked at that, this building of the wall, this advancement of the kingdom of God, and answering the question, what are you doing to advance the kingdom of God? You've been left here for that purpose. The kingdom of God, of course, starts in your life. These people started with, some cases, with the wall in front of their house. That's a good idea. That's the most important breach for you, because the one that's in your house is the most important thing, but it doesn't end there. Chapter 3, if you will, look at verse 21. Now, not only do they work on their own walls in front of their own houses, notice after him it says, Meremoth, the son of Uriah, the son of Hakaz, repaired another section from the doorway of Elisha's house, even as far. So he doesn't even work on his, he doesn't just work on his house, he works in front of other people's houses. And this is very important. This is a principle for us. The kingdom of God isn't just in me. The kingdom of God the kingdom of God can't wait for me to get fixed either. Just because my wall isn't completely fixed, I mean, who's got their whole life completely together? Don't look up here. I got issues, and I the way it looks like, I'm going to have ongoing issues. And in fact, maybe when I get them all fixed is the day I die. I don't know. Maybe I'll never die then. I don't know. But the kingdom of God cannot wait for me to get better, for other things to happen. While I'm working on my own life, I have to be working on other people's lives. So the advance in the kingdom of God goes on. The building of the wall goes on, if you will, and not just in my life, in the lives of others. And so this guy not only worked on his own wall, he walked on the wall in front of other people's houses. And this is an important, very important principle. And we're going to proceed on with the rest of the work of the kingdom with an interesting chapter that's in front of us. This chapter, a lot of people say, is a colorless, some have quoted, some commentators, they say it's, quote, a colorless memorandum of assignments. And I would suggest to you it's more than that. It's a bunch of names you can't pronounce. But these guys and gals, the way they work, how they work, hold for us some important lessons. And I want to give you three lessons this morning, I think, that we should draw from this text. The first lesson is a lesson on priorities. Look at verse 1 of chapter 3. Then Eliashib the high priest, these are the head preachers, if you will, arose with his brothers and the priest and built the sheep gate. Sheep gate is arguably the most important gate in all of Israel, because it's the gate through which come the sacrifices for the temple. I'm going to show you a diagram that may not look like anything to you, but I'm just going to show it to you anyway because it means something to me. This is a diagram. Notice there's the direction north, basically, of the old city of Jerusalem. It was kind of elongated. It was situated on top of a hill, and so it wasn't exactly round, because part of the roundness would have been off in the valleys to the east. To the west, to the east, to the south. And so the temple, that's that square rectangular area, the Temple Mount. The area of the Sheep Gate is right there. Right there. It's directly across from the Kidron Valley. In fact, where that arrow is basically is the Kidron Valley. To the further east, if you will, is the Mount of Olives. The direction from which, by the way, Jesus came. Guess which gate Jesus came through? When he entered in Jerusalem the final time to be the ultimate sheep that gave his life as ransom for our souls. Through the Sheep Gate. Not coincidentally. Very intentionally, because this is an extremely important gate, because through this, like I said, is where all the sacrifices come. And so the high priest, it says here, rises up. The first thing that's done with the wall is they fix the priorities. And that's priority. God, when it comes to the kingdom work, we have to remember, God comes before kingdom work. A lot of times we have a tendency is just get out there and start working, and we leave out our relationship with God. Listen, the work of God requires God. You'll walk off without Him, even though you're doing the work of God. You're doing it without His power. It's not His work. It requires God. Work or labor for God flows from worship of God. I worship first. I put God first in my life. The first priority of my day is Him. And only from that priority am I able and energized to do the work that He's called me to do. I'm given direction at that point. I'm given power at that point. So we have to keep our priorities first. We learn, first of all, like I said, this lesson of priorities. This gate is the priority because His work always, God always comes before His work. God is much more impressed with your heart than He is with your labor. I mean, He can snap His fingers and do it all. He does not. He chooses to work through us. But our heart is the only thing that He does not possess, or if He does, we give that freely to Him. And so He looks for that heart. Again, the work of God requires the power of God, so work always flows from worship. Worship first. So the first lesson we learn is a lesson of priorities. The second lesson we learn is that God uses all kinds of people to do all kinds of things. Look at a few verses here with me. Look at verse 1. First of all, we read that already. That's the preachers, right? Look at verse 2. Next to him, it says, the men of Jericho build. These are just regular construction workers, guys from Jericho. Look at verse 8. It says, next to him, they're just on down the wall. Next one to this one, and next to this one, and next to this one. Notice the next one's here. It says, next to him, Uziel, the son of Harahiah, the goldsmith, made repairs. He's a jeweler. This is not what he does, building walls. But this is what he's going to do for the next 55 days. Why? Because his work's got to get done. Not just him. He's an unusual individual. But notice, next to him, Hananiah, one of the perfumers, made repairs. These are skills they required in Persia. They've been over there for nearly 100 years. They were farmers and grapevine tenders and other things in the land of Israel. Well, they went away to a place where they couldn't be those things, so they had to come up with some kind of skills. So they come up with these skills. Next to him, he restored the broad wall, it says, and then notice verse 9 and then verse 12. Next to them, Rephaiah, the son of Hur, the official of half the district of Jerusalem, made repairs. This is a government official. So next to the perfumers and the goldsmiths and the regular construction workers and the preachers, I got a government official out there working with his hands, doing what he can. Verse 12, next to him, Shalom, the son of Halosheth, and the official of half the district of Jerusalem, made repairs, and his daughters. Didn't have any boys, I guess. He says, you girls, get your gloves on, get your overalls on, get out there and get to work. It's not typical woman's work. It's not typical official work, but the work had to be done. Kingdom of God is just like that. It takes a lot of different kinds of people. Like I said, first off, these preachers. Years ago, I served on the board of Zephyr Baptist Encampment before I ever came here, years before I came here. Zephyr Baptist Encampment is a encampment where we send our youth and our children every year, and it's a great camp, and it does great ministry, not only for our church, for many other churches. And my first meeting on that board, Zephyr was talking about expansion to the place where it is right now. It was a very small camp at that time. They were talking about adding dormitories, building a new tabernacle, adding water sports, putting sprinkler systems in, clearing land. They were talking about dealing with banks, dealing with sewer systems, all these information. And in the middle of that, it was like a two-hour meeting. I was sitting there, and I started looking around the meeting and recognizing the individuals that were in that meeting. 99% of the people in that meeting were people like me, Baptist preachers. Now, Baptist preachers are great, and you need them, but not too many of them. You can have too many. And in my opinion, we had too many. Because the kind of things we were talking about, infrastructure stuff, logistics, utilities, sprinkler system, recreation areas, pools. I mean, a preacher in that kind of situation is basically good to open and close in prayer, but really nothing else. We need people that understood money, banks, machinery, land, leveling, labor. We needed people that could understand and comprehend these things. I'm sure these pastors, just like myself, could find people that could do these things. We needed people that actually could put their hands on these things. And so my first act as member of that board was to resign. I'm not going to tell these preachers to resign. I resigned by going back to my church and finding an individual who met some of these things and saying, you're going to take my place. There was, the board was full. And so the only way to get a person like that on that board was to get myself off of it. So that's what I did. Like I said, a great blessing for me to quit there, for them anyway. Kingdom work. In kingdom work, you got to have preachers. But not too many of them. It takes all kinds. All of us have gifts and skills and abilities and experiences and knowledge and things that God needs and uses. And the example of this wall is a great example of how many different kinds of people, different situations, different walks of life that God uses. And all these, it says, work together. There's pivotal words in here, several, with a couple of different words that are pivotal. One set of words is next to. You find it in verse 1, verse 4, verse 5, verse 7, verse 8, verse 9, verse 10. Verse 12, every time it says next to. So they weren't just working individuals. They were working as a collective unit. I got to get along with the guy next to me, and he's got to get along with the guy next to him, because we're doing one single project here, accomplishing one thing. The same is true with the kingdom of God. This is not just about you. Not just about what you can do. It's about what we collectively can do together. You may not like me. I may not like you. But you know what? We need to get over it. Because the kingdom of God is more important than our individual issues. And you know what? Probably our individual issues are a demonstration that we need to grow up. We need to learn to get along. We need to learn to accept each other, that I'm not going to be like you and you're not going to be like me. And that's very important that we stay different. Because the kingdom of God requires all kinds of different people. Another very pivotal word found up 13 times in here is the word section. They all had their sections. They all had their places. Not everybody can do everything. You cannot fix everybody in ministry. You cannot. Do what you can do. Serve in your area, but understand that there are others in their own sections collectively working together. But find your niche. Have you found it? Find your place. Look at what it says here, Romans 12, verse 6. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. We're different. Find your place in that difference that God has given to you. There's a spot in the kingdom of God that fits you exactly. Find that spot. But don't be like this guy who I read his job history. Listen to this guy's interesting job history. He said, my first job was working in an orange juice factory. He said, but I got canned because I couldn't concentrate. Then I worked in the woods as a lumberjack, he said, but I just couldn't hack it. So they gave me the axe. After that, I tried to be a tailor, but it wasn't suited for me. Next, I tried to work in a muffler factory, but it was exhausting. I wanted to be a barber, but I couldn't cut it. I attempted to be a deli worker, but any way I sliced it, I just couldn't cut the mustard. I studied a long time to become a doctor, but I didn't have any patience. Became a professional fisherman, but I discovered I couldn't live off my net income. Next, I found being an electrician was interesting, but the work was shocking. After many years, he said, I tried to find study work, but I finally got a job as a historian, but I found there was no future in it. Don't be like that guy. Always finding something wrong with what you do. Find a way to work. You know, you say, well, and I just don't feel like I fit in. Well, let me just say this to you. Don't sit around. Do something. God steers us. God moves us. God shapes us. God directs us. God refines us into what he wants us to be. But I will tell you, anything can be steered as long as it's moving. Steer huge ships, enormous trucks, all kinds of things. But the only way you can steer them is once they're rolling. Get rolling. Do something. The kingdom of God's not waiting. It's not waiting for you to fix all of your stuff. Okay, yeah, you need fixing, so do I. But there are other needs out there too. While you're fixing yourself, fix others. In fact, a lot of times in my experience, my personal experience, is the fixes I find for myself, I find as I serve others. Maybe that's where your fixes actually lie, is in doing something instead of just focusing on your own stuff. Like I said, you can't fix the whole world, but do what you do and do it in consideration of others. When you think of church work, when you think of ministry, when you think of serving God, think of it as a football game, not a golf game. It's not you individually out there just doing something, accomplishing what you need to accomplish. There's a part of it that's like that. But the majority of the time, it's like football. We work as a team. A lot of people don't like church because they don't like teamwork, because they just want to do their own thing. Bottom line is because they're selfish. They don't want to work with others. They don't get along with others. And that may be your personality, and it's something you need to fix. Something God needs to fix in your life. You need to let Him do it. Suppose, for instance, without individuals and just individuals running their own show here in the story of Nehemiah and this wall, suppose they had done whatever they wanted to do. This group over here just built however what they wanted to build, however tall, however wide, whatever materials. And then when they go to butt up to the next group that has done the same thing, one's higher than the other, one's wider than the other, different rocks, it doesn't work that way. Yes, you have a section, you have a place, you have a niche that you have to work on, but you have to do it in consideration of the whole ministry. The whole ministry, everybody working together, and there's some things that I do and don't do in consideration of the whole ministry. Like I said, lots of people don't like church because they don't like to work with people. Church is people. You need to stop that if that's you. You need to get over it. And a final lesson that we learn, God uses a lot of people, a final lesson we learn is how to work. I want these people, more than anything, teach us that very lesson. How to work. Look at verse 2. Next to him it says, the men of Jericho built. You know how far Jericho was from Jerusalem? 25, still is today, 25 miles, 100% of the time uphill. 25 miles away, almost 3,000 feet up. These guys are traveling. I don't think they're commuting every day. They basically pull up their stuff. They don't even live in Jerusalem. Why should they care? Jericho has a wall. Jerusalem does not. They pull up and go because even though it's not their town, it is for the Jews their hometown. It is the hometown of God for sure. And so they go there and they pull up and work for 55 days because it's what had to be done. They just did what had to be done. Is that the way you work? Is that the way you serve God? Only when it's convenient for you, only when it fits in your schedule, only when you have energy, only when you have time, only when you have money. That's not the way the kingdom of God works. The kingdom of God is you fit yourself to it, not it fits to you. You do what needs to be done. The men of Jericho are a great example of that. They did what it took. Look at verse 5. Another group that did what it took. Moreover, next to him, the Tekoites, the people from Tekoa, it says, made repairs. But notice, as an addendum, it says their nobles did not support the work of their masters. In other words, they wouldn't go to work because it was beneath them. Tekoa, by the way, is 10 miles away also. So these guys had to move to town in order to accomplish this work. But their nobles went and just kind of turned their nose up. Oh, this is, we're not going to get our hands dirty. We're not going to serve. You got other people who are leaders, who are administrators, governors, and others who are serving. But these nobles, it's beneath them. Is there work of God that's beneath you? Would you be willing today to sit before God and say, there's just certain things, God, I'm not going to do? How about He does not let you live? You're going to talk about things you don't want to do. What if He didn't want to? He's not obligated to you, but you indeed are obligated to Him. These men of Tekoa were great examples, but their nobles were not. Hard work just simply means that you do whatever it takes to get done. Look at another group here. Look at verse 13. Hanun, the inhabitants of Zenoa, repaired the valley gate, and they built it and hung its doors, both with bolts and bars, and 1,000 cubits of the wall to the refuge gate. Verse 14. Malchijah, the son of Rechab, the official of the district of Beth, you can read that word, repaired the refuge gate, also called the dung gate. He built it and hung its doors and its bars. So this is another official here, another government official. This isn't just a regular guy out there, not just a regular worker. This is a guy who is otherwise sitting in an office pushing paper, basically. He builds what's called the refuge gate or the dung gate. Refuge gate or the dung gate is not near as prestigious as the sheep gate. By the way, I'll show you where it is. There's the sheep gate over there. Refuge gate is way over here. Bottom of the hill. This is the top of the hill. You got the sheep gate there. Around here on the west side, you had what was called the fountain gate. There were some very prestigious gates, very important gates. Lots of people go through those gates. But everybody, listen, had to eventually go through the dung gate. Not a prestigious gate, but a very necessary gate. It was the bathroom gate, if you will. Everybody wants to be a part of the sheep gate. They want to be a part of the fountain gate, the notoriety, the pictures, the ribbon cutting, all this kind of stuff. But nobody wants to build the dung gate. But somebody had to, because everybody's going to pass through. There's no sewer system back then. No garbage pickup. And so at the bottom of the hill, because as we know, it doesn't flow uphill, it flows downhill. There were no outdoor privies or anything like that. You used a chamber pot in your house, and in the morning or the evening, you carried it downhill through the dung gate. You collected your trash or whatever needed to be burned. You carried it downhill through the dung gate. I'm impressed by this guy, as he says here, this ruler of the half district of Beth Hakarem. I'm impressed by him. Because he didn't leave it to his lackeys. He didn't leave it to the men of the town. He himself did it because it had to be done. Is there something you won't do for God? Something that's beneath you? We have him in juxtaposition to the nobles, as I said, of Tekoa, who wouldn't even lift a finger to do anything, much less the least noble of the things. Shame on them. Shame on you if there are things you will not do for God. Notice, speaking of the men of Tekoa, look at all the way down to verse 27. Now, it tells us back there in verse 5 that they worked on a certain section of the wall. Look at verse 27. After him, the Tekoites repaired another section. So they got done with their first section, went and ate supper, got their tools together, and they could have, and maybe many of us would have, gone back to Tekoa. I mean, goodness, I'm out of towner. I've done what I'm supposed to do. What do? They just move on down the wall and find the next place that's open, and they start building there. They're not going to finish until the work's done. Applaud people like that. Get done with your work. Do the next thing. Get done with what God has called you to do. Ask God again, what God now would you have me do? And just move on. There's not a time in ministry for retirement. Never. You never retire. Now, you may change jobs, but you don't retire from it. Retirement, like I've said before, is when we're having your funeral. How do we know when she retired? We just buried her. She's gone, right? You're definitely retired. Heaven is retirement. Earth is not a place of retirement. It is a place of service to God and work with him. One more guy I want to point out to you because I think he's special. In fact, I know he is. He's a guy by the name of Baruch. Look at verse 20. It says, after him, Baruch, the son of Zabai, zealously repaired another section from the angle to the doorway of the house of Eliashib, the high priest. Now, there was a lot of hard workers out there. A lot of faithful people. A lot of people sacrificing and doing things like building the dung gate and shifting from one section of the wall to the next section of the wall and doing a lot of things that nobody would recognize. But this guy is a standout. It says here that he was zealously repaired. You know what Baruch means, the name means? Same as Barak. You have a president by that name. That's Arabic, Barak. Hebrew is Baruch. It means blessing. It means blessing. I would submit to you that all of us need to be a Baruch type of worker. He zealously, it says, repaired. He was an inspiration to others. People looked at him and said, man, that guy, he's something else. He'll work circles around you. I'm impressed by people who serve God in that way. People, we got a lot of people in this church who will do above and beyond what God has called them to do. I think of people like our Sabrina Hackey back here. Irma Jacks, who served with our children and served with our youth. And both of these ladies have had, this past year, they were doing work that was, they were doing this much work, if you will. Guess what they did this year? They didn't cut back. They added to it. They're Baruch type workers. I want to be like them when I grow up. What about you? A blessing. A person who's always looking for something to do, always asking God, what is the next thing you have for me? Not looking for a way to get out, but a way to get in to work. Recognizing that they need everybody. Serve everybody, but whatever needs to be done, no matter how it needs to be done, no matter the sacrifices and the difficulties, they serve. Is that the kind of person you are? I'm going to ask if you would bow your heads and close your eyes with me as we come to a conclusion. The building of the wall in our own lives is so incredibly important. We got to fix our stuff. We got to be willing to listen to what God has to say to us. But we also have to be willing to look out and say, what are the needs out there? What could I possibly do? You may live your life and say, I don't really know what God wants me to do. Like I said, get moving. God will steer you. Heavenly Father, we look at these hard workers, these people who went for 80 years with no wall, but in 55 days because They were stirred by your spirit. They put up a wall that lasted for centuries and centuries. They were willing workers. Lord, I pray that we would be willing workers. I pray, God, there'd be nothing in us, consciously or unconsciously, that says, there's stuff I won't do. There's places I won't go. There's things I won't say. There's things I won't be. Lord, I pray that that wouldn't be so for us. I pray that in our work we would be a blessing, an inspiration as we serve. God, you've called us to different skills, different abilities, different directions. Some things that go on within this church, some things are going on with outside this church. Lord, you've called us. Lord, I pray for faithfulness above all these things. But first of all, to you. Thank you, God, for speaking to us, instilling in us this work ethic, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.